On for the CJLO, the Jello radio station, where electric ladies get down with the acid and the Kool-Aid and cover themselves in lovely, lovely Jello.
For CJLO News, I'm Daniel Braz. The CSQ ratified a progressive strike mandate on Tuesday after consultation with its members, with 85% of daycare workers affiliated with the union voting in favor of the mandate. How the progressive strike will work is that the workers at public daycares will now start opening 30 minutes later than usual and eventually will escalate to reach half a day. The mandate for the progressive strike is a reaction to the government's initial offer in the negotiations of a 12.7% pay increase over 5 years. A representative for the FIPEQ, which is affiliated with the CSQ, said that they only want to start quietly putting pressure on the government at this time, but will not rule out a wider strike mandate in the future. In Winnipeg, the Crown rested its case yesterday in the trial of Jeremy Skibitski, the admitted serial killer who murdered 4 Indigenous women in the spring of 2022, after entering into evidence letters he had written to a woman in prison last year, where he wrote about his extreme racial views and his disdain for the judicial proceedings concerning his trial. Skibitski confessed in the hours after his arrest in May 2022 to murdering the 4 women, although the WPS confirmed 2 weeks ago that the DNA of 12 more Indigenous women was present in his apartment without indicating whether they were also murdered. Despite Skibitski's confession, he is seeking to be held not criminally responsible by the court due to mental illness, with his lawyers presenting Skibitski's defense on June 3rd and the bench trial set to conclude on June 6th. On Tuesday, President Emmanuel Macron traveled to New Caledonia to set up an unspecified mission after more than a week of deadly riots exploded on the island. The riots and the resulting crackdown from the French military stemmed from the decision by the French government to expand voting rights in the overseas territory to include all French residents who have lived on the island for over 10 years, which social leaders say would dilute the voice of the indigenous Kanak population, who are seen as the fuel of the pro-independence movement in New Caledonia. Tensions are still high as leaders in both Paris and Nouméa seek to take the next steps towards a resolution. To hear more and to learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Hey, this is Remy from At the Movies, and you're listening to a special edition of the Get Up Fringe Edition 2024, only on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Truly.
Perfect. Yeah, great.
Perfect.
It's all yours now, Remy.
So the Montreal Fringe Festival is back from May 27th to June 16th for the 34th edition. With theater, dance, magic shows, and everything in between, there is something new for new and returning audiences alike. Revenue from the ticket sales going directly back to the artist. We speak to Kenny Strulli about this year's festival. Hi, Kenny. Thank you for taking the time for this interview today.
Well, thank you for having me.
What makes the Montreal Fringe Festival so exciting that the audiences return every year and new ones discover Fringe for the first time as well, too? And what can audiences expect from the 34th edition of this year's festival?
You know, I think the reason why audience members come back to the Fringe Festival is because there is really something for everyone that they can choose from. Like you said in your intro, there's theater, there's dance, there's magic, there's puppetry, there's there's shows that you wouldn't expect on the main stages of theater, of theater stages. And I think that's really where Fringe shines and allows artists, allows patrons to try something new because the artist is trying something new. And I think that's really one of the reasons why I continue working for the Fringe, why I know patrons return to the Fringe, because they want to take a risk on a show and they can because the prices are affordable and the artist feels that they really have an opportunity to try something new because the festival is lottery based. So all the shows are put into a hat. We pull them out in that from that hat in November, and the ones who are selected do the show that they want to do. So there's no artistic censorship in what they do, of course, while they're on stage. And I think that's really a reason why they pick up. And the people who discover the festival for the first time, you know, I think it's about taking a risk, which you don't always get to do in our art scene. You know, sometimes the prices could be too high for a ticket. So taking an opportunity on a show that you don't know is more risky. But at the Fringe, we love the risk. And you love the risk as an audience member because you don't know what you're going to get on stage. One of my favorite stories is like, when I was at the Fringe Park and someone was like, hey, check out this show. And I was like, you know what? I got nothing to do tonight and I'm going to go. And that spontaneity is Fringe because that's still one of my favorite shows to this day. And that artist is actually coming back to Montreal. John Bennett did Fire in the Meth Lab in 2013 is when I saw it. And he's coming back with a new show called Americant. And I think it's just an opportunity for him to try out a new show in Montreal. And Fringe is the perfect platform for that.
So alongside the local artists are international ones as well too. Some of them are up and comer that will possibly have the dreams of making it big inside the long run. But how is it important for Fringe and the Fringe mandate to respect the artist's integrity and to support local artists and international ones alike as well too during this time?
Yeah, I mean, it's crucial. It's crucial to our existence. You know, Fringe festivals are a part of the ecosystems of the art. And we're really the platform where artists get to develop the shows that they want to work on. We're not the mainstream shows that always make it inside the theaters that we see with the subscribers. And that's good. That's a version, that's a part of the ecosystem, those shows. They're important to be there. It's where artists go and create and have the shows that are established and they go to the main stages. But Fringe is really the place where a show that doesn't necessarily have a home in those theaters, gets to be developed and gets seen by audiences, and then has the possibility of being picked up to be a part of those shows. You know, my favorite example is a show that we had 2 years at the Montreal Fringe ago, 2 years ago, called Josephine. It was a story about Josephine Baker. And that show won the Outstanding English Production in 2022. That was presented by the Siegel Center for the Performing Arts. And it was so much loved by the Siegel Center that they put it into their season. And, you know, like that to me is really what Fringe is about, is that it creates, we're like the trampoline in this ecosystem of the arts where art can be thrown on it and it'll bounce somewhere, but we don't know where. And I think that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it as well too. So one of the important things about Fringe is the Fringe for All, where audiences get a glimpse at the acts at this year's festival. So when is Fringe for All? Where will it be happening? And what can audiences expect that they haven't been to Fringe for All?
So Fringe, sorry to cut you off from me. It's just because Fringe for All is my most favorite event of the festival. It is the event that launched the entire festival on May 27th at Club Soda at 7 p.m. It is a free event. And it is really where patrons and our community gets to see what is coming to the festival this year. It's really a place where the artists get to showcase their show. Every artist is welcome to having 2 minutes on stage to present a certain little excerpt of their show or some kind of teaser to get the audience interested in attending their show. Those who can attend in person are welcome to send a 1 minute video. And it is really 2 minutes. At 2 minutes, we cut them off and we move on to the next one. We have to respect it because we have so many people to showcase. And it is like the most organized chaos on stage. And it's one of my favorite events because it really is an opportunity for artists to go above and beyond to promote their show. And really, it's one of the highlights of the festival. Every year, I have a beautiful honor of hosting it. This year, I'll be hosting with Marilyn Cherry, which is awesome. She's done it in the past as well. And it is such a roller coaster of a show in the best kind of way. It's thrilling, and it's where I've seen patrons take their programs and circle the shows they want to see, maybe put a little extra on the ones they're not sure about. And I think it's Fringe Raw is really an opportunity to do that. And I hope you will be there as well, Remy, and everyone who's listening, because it is where people make their decisions of what shows to go check out.
So what other activities can be seen or heard at Fringe? Or maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the family events that will be taking place too, because not all of the shows are general rated for a family event. But I know that Fringe is open for families too, and they put on family events as well too.
Of course, yeah. So we've got the Fringe Park that's at the corner of Rachel and Saint-Laurent. The entire Boulevard Saint-Laurent is closed off from Sherbrooke to Mont-Royal for the street sale. And we have the park, Parc des Amériques, that becomes Fringe Park. And that's open from the 6th to the 16th, which music is playing. Parents can buy themselves a drink at the bar. We have non-alcoholics for the children. And that's where music is played. But on the first Sunday, so June 9th, there'll be a mini Fringe programming that's available. You can check it out on the website for more details about that. It's really a place where children can discover the Fringe for the first time, because it is a place where there's activities for kids, there's arts and crafts, there's storytelling, and it's their first like entrance into Fringe, and they're the future Fringers. So I think it's a really great opportunity to discover the festival. It's free events, free promo, and that's happening on June 9th in the morning for the kids to come and hang out at the Fringe Festival, which is so awesome to see. Of course, we've got some shows that are interior that cost money for kids that are not necessarily programmed just for kids, but like great example of a show that I would check out is one called the Jimmy Cow's Magic Show. It's a great magic show with it that he'll be doing, and I really recommend that one. Rob Teska also doing a magic show that's at the Conservatoire de Montréal. It is a paid event, but magic shows are always a hit with the kids. I still feel like a child when I watch them, so it's a really lot of fun. And all that programming is available on montrealfringe.ca to check it out. And we hope to see you at the Fringe.
Once again, I'll remind the audiences that the 34th edition of this year's Fringe Festival takes place from May 27th to June 16th. More information can be found at montrealfringe.ca. We normally like to end our interviews with a fun question. So if you can turn any Montreal landmark or icon into a Fringe show, who or what would it be?
You know, I was thinking about this, and because we're in the Plateau Mont-Royal, I was gonna say Leonard Cohen, because there's such a beautiful mural of him in our around Main Line and the Fringe Festival. But another mural I really like as well is the one of Jackie Robinson that we have from the Royals, the baseball team. And I think I would love to see someone make a show about his life. I think that would be really cool. I think sports on stage is always something that's really fun. This year we have Oren Safdie doing a show about the Montreal Canadiens, which is going to be also at the Conservatoire. And I'm really excited to see what that looks like, because again, mixing two different elements of sports and arts together, that's going to be a beautiful combination. So I'd love to see a show about Jackie Robinson.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kenny.
Thank you so much, Remy, for having me.
Have you just arrived in NDG? Do you want to learn French? Are you looking for a job? Would you like to get to know your neighbors better? Since 2012, Bienvenue à NDG has been welcoming people newly settled in the neighborhood by offering support to orient themselves, integrate, and feel at home. Supported by the NDG community, Bienvenue à NDG is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to facilitate the integration of immigrant persons into the community life of Notre-Dame-de-Grâce as well as into the host society and to promote intercultural relations. Our services are free and we can serve you in more than 20 languages. Join our community. Feel free to visit our website, bienvenuendg.ca, and make an appointment with our integration counselors in partnership with the Government of Quebec.
Tune in to the Anatomy of Creepy Music right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Saturday from noon until 2 p.m., where we examine the origins and the evolution of music from the Caribbean.
CJLO, don't worry.
We're not robots.
Hey, this is Remy from At the Movies, and you're listening to a special edition of the Get Up Fringe Edition 2024, only on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Created with the support of the Playwrights Workshop Montreal, Love the Sinner is an original play from Rachel Renaud. A rough, vulnerable, and cathartic journey following the relationship between Catholic school students Elle, Sadie Lee Bennett, and Lena, Rachel Renaud, as Elle comes out as trans. We're here today speaking to author and performer Rachel Renaud about their upcoming play, Love the Sinner, as part of this year's Montreal Fringe Festival. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for taking the time for this interview today.
Remy, thanks for having me.
So how does it feel to have Love the Sinner at this year's Fringe Festival, and what does the Fringe Festival mean to you?
I have always had like some really strong ties to Fringe. Before I even moved from Vancouver to Montreal, I visited Montreal. This was about like 5-6 years ago. Didn't even know what the Fringe Festival was, and it happened to be happening in like the 1 week that I was here. And so I bumped into a Fringe tent on like my second day and just spent the rest of my trip like running around trying to see as many Fringe shows as I could. And I was like, oh my God, I need to have a show in this festival. And since moving here, I've actually been a part of 3 other Fringe shows. Like in the 4 years I've been here, I acted in 2 and I directed 1 last year. So it's been a really beautiful, like, full circle moment to this year get to have a play that I like have spent years writing, and that I'm performing in, happening. And the fact that we got funded from Canada Council to do this was kind of the cherry on top. Because I'm like, okay, not only do I have a Fringe show that I wrote and I produced this year, but like I get to pay this team of like amazing queer and trans like performers and crew. And it's been really, really cool.
So Love the Sinner is a personal project for yourself, but alongside yourself, what have been some of the inspirations for this theater piece?
Yeah, it's super interesting because we got funding to like write and workshop it last year. And after the workshop performance, I had people in the audience like sobbing and coming up to me and like expressing how much it spoke to them. And a lot of people were asking me, like, is it autobiographical? Like, it's so personal. It's so raw. And I didn't know how much to divulge because I'm like, should the art be able to just stand alone? And like, these are like real things happening in our world today. And like, the art is based off of that. But yeah, as you said, it's very personal. It's about my own experiences as a Catholic teenager who was like so devout, sang in the church choir, taught liturgy of the word for children. But then like, you know, fell in love with my girlfriend from 15 to 17 and was a child and she was trans, and it was just like a very big awakening of what the world could be. And so, yeah, the process for this was really, it started based off of that, based off of my life. And then it really snowballed into like reading so many books from like Christian ministers, like people who are up high in like Catholic rankings and like how they felt about queer people. And then listening to stories about trans people who have come out later in life, who maybe have left the church or have tried to integrate into the church and like, you know, change minds in their church and kind of prove that they deserve to belong in their own faith. And I don't have a faith myself now, but it was a lot of researching that. It was a lot of trying to understand that. And so it's inspired by the world and so much in the world and so much in Christianity and so much in queerness, but also obviously the roots of myself. Yeah.
So normally Fringe, what they have is they have something that's called like a Fringe for All that happens on May 27th, where each performer gets 2 minutes on stage to talk about the project that they will be hosting at this year's Fringe Festival. So my next question goes along the lines of what can audiences expect from attending Love the Center this year?
They can expect a lot. Yeah, it is a beautiful love story between two kids. Like, I feel like me and the team really want to like iterate that as much as we can, that like, yes, we're talking about transphobia. Yes, we're talking about religious bigotry. Yes, we're talking about homophobia. But also like, it's funny. It has so much joy, so much queer and trans joy. Our director, Beatrice Warner, if anyone who's listening knows her, she is a absolute ball of affection and generosity and kindness, and she has somehow hacked the code on finding the joy as a trans woman in a world that is not all the time welcoming, and she exudes that to everyone that she meets. And so in the rehearsal room, like, we really feel that, and we hope that the audience will feel that too. So although like, yes, we are talking about some subjects sometimes that are really hard, we also have so much fun in the show, and it's so lovely, and it's awkward, and we talk about sex, and we, like, you know, we're awkward teenagers, and we have dildo puppets. So it is funny, it is sad, it'll have you belly laughing, and it will have you sobbing, and I hope that you will come and talk to me after the show every night and tell me how you feel about it.
Perfect. So what did you learn about yourself from this project, the whole experience from the start to the very finish?
The whole experience has been really long. Like, it started with me writing 10 scenes in a high rise during the pandemic when I was alone in like my apartment and the curfew was happening. And then, yeah, since then, like, I've learned how to write grants. I've gotten funding from Canada Council twice for this project, which kind of blows my mind. Like, I got funding to write and workshop it and now funding to produce it. I think I really learned to like trust myself and trust my own creative instincts. Like, talking about these things is really, really scary. Like, I'm scared about how my Catholic family is going to find this story. I'm scared about how my queer friends are going to find this story. Because I'm talking about two different sides of a really, like, it shouldn't be a polarizing issue, but knowing a lot of people, it is. And I wanted to give it a lot of integrity and a lot of realness to it. And that takes a lot of trust in myself. And so I think it's like learning to trust myself, to take up space. And lastly, just like that I can put together this amazing team. Like, I had no idea that as a producer, I could somehow get these amazing, like, amazing artists in a room together, and that they would be so excited to work on my words. And it kind of shocks me every day when they're like, we love this script. And I find that hard to take and accept. So that's still something I'm working on.
So Love the Center is playing at Studio Jean Valcourt as part of Montreal Fringe Festival. The showings are June the 6th at 9, June the 9th at 12:15, June 10th at 7:30, June 12th at 7, June 15th at 9 o'clock, and June 16th at 4:45 p.m. More information at montrealfringe.com. fringe.ca. So normally we like to end our interviews with normally a fun question. And the one that I pose to every single Fringe show that I interview for is, if you could have What the Sinner playing at any Montreal institution or landmark or anywhere inside the city, where would you want it to be performed at?
I love this question. So our actual venue, Studio Jean Valcourt, in my opinion, is the best Fringe venue. So I'll just throw that out there. I think we got very lucky. I'm very happy. But I think it would be really fun if we could do the play in the Notre Dame Basilica, like the ornate giant church. I feel like we could use the balcony in some points. We could be like walking down the aisles. And I feel like the irony really tickles me. And yeah, just having it in like a grand church-like consecrated venue, I would really get a kick out of that.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks, Remy. It's been great.
Calling all the
Hey, this is Remy from At the Movies, and you're listening to a special edition of the Get Up Fringe Edition 2024, only on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. So the Shylock Project returns to this year's Fringe Festival with a multimedia show about the life and death of Edgar Allan Poe. The show is titled Edgar in the Red Room and dives into the mystery of the unsolved murder of Edgar Allan Poe. We speak to the author and director, Matthew Sciarrini, about the production. Hi, Matthew. Thank you for taking the time today for this interview.
Hi, Remy. Thanks for having me.
So how does it feel to have Edgar in the Red Room at this year's Fringe Festival? And what does the Montreal Fringe Festival mean to you?
We are thrilled. The Shylock Project is a company based in Syracuse, New York, and we've had two previous productions come up to Montreal. And it's such a wonderful festival that's a mix of these really talented, amazing artists from all over the world and a really outstanding theater audience. So it's a great place to try new material before a really intelligent audience who will give you some great feedback and good reviews. And we're so excited to be back. We had two shows up there pre-COVID, and it's been a few years, and now we're ready to try this one out.
So what was the inspiration for this multimedia project, most of it being centered around the death of Edgar Allan Poe? And why is the death of Edgar Allan Poe such an unsolved mystery that perplexes the community? And it just, it's like enigmatic of like true crime, essentially speaking.
Well said, yeah. For a guy who, Edgar Allan Poe, for a guy who we know so much about through his letters, through his writing, through so many different biographies written about him, even like within years of his death, so many have been written about him. There's this one week of his life that we just don't know much about, and that's the final week of his life. He was not supposed to be in Baltimore, but there he was. He was found essentially in the gutter, insensible, raving, wearing someone else's clothes, traveling under a false name, and calling out for someone named Reynolds, who no one to this day is quite sure who that was. So there's so many mysteries surrounding his death, and for a guy who wrote so many mysteries and macabre kind of dark imaginings and nightmares and things like that, his death and the mysterious circumstances surrounding it are just part of that mystery, part of the legend. In some ways, they add to the legend. So everything we know about Poe is somehow kind of heightened by the weird and inexplicable death that even to this day, scientists, you know, they're doing hair tests of him, and there's still not a conclusive answer to what actually killed him. So I thought that was a really interesting jumping off point for a story and a way to kind of look at Poe, not just as a storyteller, because we're all familiar with his stories, but also as a character. So imagining this Poe in and out of consciousness, lost, in Baltimore, under mysterious circumstances, what are the final images going through his head? This man who had such a vivid imagination, what is his last nightmare? What is his last imagination? And kind of finding a way to put that on stage in a very physical way, in a very imaginative and hallucinatory way, we hope, is a great way to kind of explore that story. Obviously, we'll never know for sure, but I was just really intrigued by the question, what were Poe's last thoughts?
Mm-hmm. So we speak a little bit about the visionary components to Edgar in the Red Room, and continuing on with this, how would you describe some of the multimedia components working and used to tell the story of this mystery during the show?
Well, so just as Poe, the writer, worked in a lot of different mediums, you know, he didn't just write these macabre stories. He wrote puzzles. He wrote poems. He wrote comic short stories. He invented detective fiction on top of that. You know, he was a really prolific and a very broad-based kind of writer who explored a lot of different genres. We wanted to do a theatrical piece that could contain a lot of different genres. So there are songs, there's movement and dance, there's shadow play, there are 2D projections and animations, and the story or this kind of series of stories that we've mishmashed and cobbled together from several of his other stories and poems have a dreamlike quality to them as we attempt to tell this dreamlike fable of what was Poe's last nightmare.
So on May 27th, we'll be having Fringe for All, which allows all of the entries from this year's Fringe Festival 2 minutes on stage to sell what they will be presenting at this year's Fringe Festival. So what would be the most enticing element that you would draw the audience in by telling them to come and see Edgar in the Red Room?
As everyone who has ever read a Poe story in school knows, or even if you haven't, he is one of the most prolific and profound and unique writers and dreamers and creators to ever put pen to paper in his century or any century. He is more iconic in death than he ever was in life, and every year more people discover the amazing imagination of this tortured but thoroughly gifted artist. So I hope that people who are a little bit familiar with Poe, or even a lot familiar with Poe, or not at all familiar with Poe, are going to get something out of this great, totally made up look at his life, while also getting to explore some of his most famous works.
So Edgar in the Red Room is at this year's Fringe Festival. The location will be 3900 Rue Saint-Denis at Salle Jean-Claude Germain, Centre Théâtre aujourd'hui. It will be on June the 8th at 8:45, June the 9th at 2:45, June 10th at 12:45, June 13th at 3:30, June 14th at 7:15, and June 16th at 3:45 again. And now we like to end our interviews, as we do with every Fringe interview that we do, with a fun question. So if you could take this multimedia project of Edgar in the Red Room anywhere in Montreal, where would you take it?
The Biodome. Yeah, I remember loving visiting it. I don't know what it has to do with Edgar Allan Poe, but it's a fun place to visit and look around. And there must be a dark, cavey area somewhere.
Yes, definitely. There's a bat section of the Biodome, so I could totally see Edgar in the Red Room being performed around there. So what are you looking forward to the most about Montreal and coming to Montreal this year?
Montreal is one of my favorite cities on earth. I love the culture. I love the people. I love the poutine. I love the soccer. CF Montreal is a great team. I had a wonderful time last time. And just walking up and down Boulevard Saint-Laurent and the mural festival and just all the things happening in the city at any given moment are so thrilling. It's just a really beautiful city to see art and be an artist and be a part of this really vibrant culture. And I can't wait to get back.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Matthew.
Thank you.
This 50-second ad mentions intimate partner violence. Women Aware is an organization that assists and empowers survivors of intimate partner violence in Montreal. We offer a hotline, peer one-on-one support, group sessions, and referral services to those in need. We will be holding our annual general meeting on June 15th at noon and encourage all survivors and social workers to attend. Those interested can register on Instagram at womenaware.mtl or at womenaware.ca and get involved. The diverse community of volunteers are at the core and heart of what we do. Women Aware, by survivors, for
survivors. Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You talking to me?
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
CJLO.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to this special Fringe edition this morning of The Get Up, only on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. And now here's Cam with your weather for the week and a look ahead on what's coming soon to the airwaves of CJLO 1690 AM.
Hey there, it's your friendly neighborhood program director Cam with a bit of a weather update for the coming weekend. It's looking like a nice one. Sunny with a chance of clouds all weekend long. Today we'll have a high of 18, low of 10. Saturday, high of 21, low of 14. And Sunday, high of 26, low of 14. Stay tuned to CJLO all day long. We've got some awesome programming lined up for you. 10 o'clock, it will be Democracy Now! With the War and Peace Report. Then at 11, tune into The Alley, one-stop shop for folk. And keep it dialed for Charts and Crafts, which will be coming right after that. You know, get to know our top 30. And then we'll have The Castle, which I imagine will be bumping some of the newer Charlie XCX or similar sorts of things. And then keep it posted for Dead Beats at 3 p.m. as well. It's always good to hear what's going on in the emo world. After that, it's Spacious Astrology Playlist. You know, get to know what's Gemini season's all about. And then the Groove Masters Hour and the Go-Go Radio Magic Show to end off the day. You know, perfect indie rock, you know, grooves, and, you know, a bit of classics too. Just, you know, what the soul needs. If you want to meet the people behind the mic here at CJLO, we're having a very special bike-a-thon / ice cream tour / barbecue tomorrow. So come out and meet us. If you want to join the bike-a-thon, which will be hitting up ice cream shops all across the city, the meetup place is at La Dipperie in St. Henry at 1 p.m. And then it'll go all across the city, eventually ending in the Plateau, where we'll be having a barbecue in Parc La Fontaine. Definitely come out for that. The barbecue starts at around 4 p.m. It's pay what you can. So, you know, we're basically looking to cover the food costs there. But it should be nice. Get to meet the people behind the mic, including me. I'll be at the barbecue. Manning the grill, probably. So, yeah, definitely catch us out there. And have a great weekend. Here's Frank Sinatra with My Way.
We will now do the national anthem, but you needn't rise. And now, the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, traveled each and every highway, more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I plan each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I guess you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. And with it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up, then spit it out. I grew tall through it all, and did it my way. I've loved, laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing. But now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, no, no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow and did it my way.
Shirt is inside out, I'm messy with the pen. He met Margaret on our rooftop, she was wearing white, and he was like, I might be in trouble. He had flashes of the good life, he was like, should I jump off this building now or do it on the double? Cause baby, if your love is in trouble, baby, if your love is in trouble, baby, if your love is in trouble, when you know, you know, when you know, you know, it kinda makes me laugh, running down that path when you're good.
Words hold my friends, but they're red flags, they're white knights, they're black eyes, and they're blue eyes. If you're asking yourself, how do you know? And that's your answer, the answer is no. Yeah, yeah.
Trouble.
you down.